Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
That as a believer, you are constantly in darkness. When I say darkness, what I mean is that there are things you need to do, but you don't know the outcome. There are things you are doing now, or things you are planning to do. You really don't know what the outcome of those decisions will be. So that's what I refer to as darkness. All right? It's like you trying to take some steps. And there are people who have taken steps, hoping that those things will turn out in their favor. But it didn't really work out. So David was saying to us that it is God who enlightens the darkness. It is God that brings light. God is a light bringer. One of the things he does for those who follow him is that he brings illumination, clarity. God has something to say when you are in between two major decisions. God has a specific opinion. God has something that if you can wait long enough, you will hear it. But you see, there is an instrument by which God does these things. And David said, it is the lighting of the candle. All right? It is the lighting of the candle. And what is this candle? So, for those of us who grew up in homes where we use candles, or we have used candles before, you know, if you stay with grandma in the village, or you stayed in, not in Lagos, so if you stayed in some places, you know that we buy candles. Sometimes if you are unable to get kerosene, grandma will say, quickly rush to this woman there and buy candles. For those of us that went to boarding school, many years ago, we had candles, we had lanterns, bush lanterns. In fact, in my own boarding school, it was a requirement. When I was going to boarding school, that list included a lantern, bush lantern, not rechargeable, bush lantern. All right. So the time this scripture was written, there was nothing like rechargeable lamps. So they used candles or lanterns. And I remember that my wearing of glasses today, I cannot tell that story without candles and bush lanterns. In fact, sometimes we forget to wash the lantern, the frame, the glasses. So it becomes very, even though there's fire, but you can't even see what is in front of you. Then your mom will now come and then she will hit you on the back and say, "Were you not the one that was supposed to wash this thing?" You wait, then she sends you out. Then you go out grudgingly. And that thing doesn't take 1 minute. Oh. If you don't know, you don't know. That thing doesn't take 1 minute. It's just, you know, you see, your revelation will attract certain things that you don't need. Those things that, those dark, what is it now? The smoke that eventually condenses and darkens the glasses. So, your mom smacks you, and then you go clean it up. Just a little soap and water. And then sometimes, if you are like me, that needs to go and do other things quickly, I will use my shirt, my clothes, and insert it. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, to make it dry. Because if that thing is not dried, and you now put it back, and the beating you, it will now look so ugly. So terrible. So that's the idea of a lantern. Then secondly is the fact that a lantern requires oil, kerosene. Do you remember the story of the 10 virgins? And 5 of them had to run out to buy oil because their lights were going out. Huh? So But for the candle, it doesn't use oil, it uses wicks. In other words, your light, your spiritual light, will not shine simply because you want it to. You must either have oil or you must have wicks. Put up that scripture. He said, "For thou will light my candle, and the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." One of the things I've noticed that a lot of Christians struggle with is to know the mind of God specifically on a matter. A lot of Christians are not sure. Others don't want to know. Others, in the bid to trying to know, made mistakes. And then they decided, this thing is not for me. But let me tell you something today. This ability to discern the mind of God personally and accurately, correctly, is one of the greatest strengths of the life of a Christian. In the Old Testament, if you wanted to know the will of God, you have to go to the temple. You have to see the priest. You have to see the prophet. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Revelation, the Illuminator, has been given to every child of God, such that if you can do the time, if you can spend time with God, God will say something. And what is it that Satan fights most in our life? It is time. Satan will tell you there is no time. How many of you know there is no time, especially if you are in Lagos? Everybody's in a hurry. But have you checked your... have you gone to your phone settings to see how much time you spent on the phone last week? Satan will never come to you and say, "Don't pray again." Satan knows that the product of prayer is revelation. What that means is that if I pray or I push, if you pray and you spend time with God, what you will get is what? Is what? Aha. So it's just like you plant a mango seed, what you get is mango fruit. Exactly. The output of prayer is revelation. Which means when I say I have prayed, the expectation, the next question is, what did God say? Prayer is not just primarily for you to scream and shout and disturb everybody in your neighborhood. At the end of the day, you're as confused as the person that did not pray. If you understand the output or the expectation of prayer, then you will know when the prayer ends. You will know when the prayer should end. So David was speaking to us and he was saying that the Lord will light my candle. So what is this candle? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. What is this candle? What is this lamp? Look at the scriptures. It said the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord. Wow. And this candle searches all. Come on, say all. The inward parts of the belly. Now, the word belly there is the same word where Jesus was preaching in. Is where Jesus was speaking in John chapter 7. And he said, out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers. That means your belly is a custodian. It's your spirit. Jesus spoke about the baptism of the spirit. When it comes, this is physically, medically, this is where your heart is. But spiritually, this is where your heart is, your belly. That's why you will notice that God always warns you against eating too much. Because they are like neighbors. When you eat too much, you can't pray. When you eat too much, you can start hearing what God is not saying. You can start hearing, Marianne is your wife. She's your wife. Thus hear the Lord, she's your wife. But it's not only physical food though. If you feast on a woman's beauty for too long, you will hear what God is not saying. You are feasting. You can eat. You can eat beauty. If you feast your eyes on a man's wealth, and maybe it's attractive, or you like the way he talks, or you like his height, he may not even know your name, but you'll be in love already. Come on, say the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, things are happening. I've lived long enough to know that the way you dress can determine how long you stay on the queue. I'm serious. You go to the hospital or you go to some public space to do something. They just see there's a, sir, has anyone attended to you? Say, no, please come. So when you go there, don't use your Ijebu accent. Say, hello, good morning. Yeah, oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's, they may not know that you speak Pidgin English where you're living, but when you get to, please, I beg you, when you get to that junction, just put on your accent. Amen. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So when God looks at your spirit, it's like a lamp. Oh, I should have come to the church today with a lantern. Then I'll put it on. This word, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. It's like a lamp. And let me also say this. Do you know that in the realm of the spirit, every true church, every genuine church has a lantern before God? In the book of Revelation chapter 1, the scripture speaks about John having a vision and seeing seven lampstands or candlesticks. And these candlesticks were burning. And in the midst of the candlesticks was Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And John tells us that these candlesticks were the seven churches. So if you go to any church, from the message they are preaching, you can tell, is this church doesn't have a candlestick. This church, maybe the fire, somebody put it out. And I can tell you for free, most churches today don't have a lamp before God. Look, put up that scripture here. Revelation 1:13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was like one like the Son of Man. That's Jesus, clothed with a garment down. Now, can you see the dress code of Jesus Christ? Garment down to his foot. This is the standard way for a Christian to dress. Say amen. This Jesus is a man, no? See? Huh? There is nothing about the presence of Jesus Christ that will distract you. Come on, are you here? Okay, church is quiet. Okay, let's move to other things since you people don't want to hear this one. Did you see what is this one in your Bible? I said, look at the way Jesus dressed. Even though he's the Son of God, he doesn't dress in a way to, if he wants to talk to you, he doesn't want you to be confused about what he's saying, about how he looks. That's why nobody who sees Jesus can actually remember what he looks like when they wake up. But you remember what he said, because he's the living word. He said it was, let me just leave this one. Verse 14. And look at this description. Now, I wish I could stay here, but I don't want to be distracted by this. His head and his hair were white like wool. Do you know what wool is? How do we get wool? When we process, when we harvest, is it cotton or something? Then we process it, it becomes wool. Or it's a kind of clothing material. They say that's how his head and his hair looks like. So, I hope you know that Jesus is not an American. So when you see this, this is descriptive of something. And he said that wool was as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. So when Jesus stands here, in his spiritual state, you will see a whitish. Now, I didn't say European. It's almost as though he's pale looking, pale. But in between this whitish mystery standing in front of you, in between his eyes, you see fire gouging out. Huh? Now, that's your Jesus. So, be thinking. Okay, some of you don't like this Jesus. You want to look for another one. But he said his eyes were like a flame of fire. So, when he said, my daughter, fire. Fire. So if he tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, this is the person who is talking to you. The person that when he stands in the midst of witches and wizards, they cannot hold their meeting without his permission. Colossians tells us that he is the head of principalities and power. If they want to meet, they will write a letter. Sir, we want to have our annual conference. Please, can we meet? He is the husband of witches. He can disarm them. He disarmed them. The Bible says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he disgraced them openly. The only way a principality will have power over you is if you have flouted a principle. Are you here? Even God has certain laws he himself keeps to remain God. For instance, God will always be love. No, God doesn't hate Satan. All right. Next verse. And his feet was like unto fine brass, and they burned as though they burned in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. So when you look at his feet, he doesn't walk on planes. Yeah, because wherever he touches becomes holy. So he doesn't touch the ground with his bare feet. His feet, as though they are soaked in fire. So when he comes to you, you have to know exactly that this person coming to you is touching the grounds with fire. And that ground is becoming sanctified. When he comes into your life, he's bringing his holiness. He's bringing his righteousness. So that when he tells you, you will not die but live, you must believe it. Because the one talking to you has his feet soaked in fire. And when he talks, this is where we have problem. His voice is like the sound of like waters rushing. And for this voice to be clear, you must spend time with it. It's like leaving Nigeria, going to China. You are completely lost from the airport. Because whatever they are saying, only God understands. I believe it's more of an achievement to speak Chinese than to speak French. Because those are heavenly languages. When you hear them, everything sounds the same. Or Japanese. Nahuka hika. When you hear that, it's as if they are ready to fight. Like somebody is angry. Or Cantonese, as though they are like a speeding sport car. That's just the way they talk. They are very fast. There's no time. It's just very fast. That's the way they talk. And for them, they are wondering why you are so slow. So when Jesus speaks, it's like many waters. It's like what you hear when the waves are clashing. But this is the Jesus that came to die. And this is glorified state. This is the person John could not stand before. John the Beloved was that man that would see Jesus and hug him. But when he saw this one, he fell down like a dead man. But this is not my emphasis today. Because I began to research. If the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and when God wanted to speak to these seven churches, I brought us here to let you know that every church of Jesus Christ, every church that is established on the authority of the word of the Lord, we have a lampstand before the Lord. In ancient Chinese days, in the mystical Chinese era, where they had all this Kung Fu and all those things, if you are a spiritual being, there's a temple within the palace of the king, of the emperor, where every immortal or everyone who has developed spiritually, we have a lantern. If you get missing, as long as there is flame in that lantern, they know you are alive. You see, this principle is not just a Christian, it's a spiritual principle. They know, as long as they can see your fire in that temple, they go and say, he's still alive, let's keep looking for him. The day that lantern crashes, and they will start weeping. They have not seen your body. They will start weeping because the spiritual connection has been severed. This is the same thing that happens to many Christians. Who come to church, who sit in church, who shout hallelujah, but they are not aware that their lamps have been put out. And there are things you can study. You just say, okay, it's like there's a problem here. When you convert worship to vibing. Okay. Do you know what vibing is? Uh-huh. When you convert worship to vibing, well, I would have given you a good example, but I don't want people to misunderstand me. There's one popular song that people like vibing to. And it's okay. But there are some languages we don't use in the oldest of all. But it's okay. I don't want to offend you. I'm trying so hard now not to. If I mention one phrase of that song, and there's nothing wrong with vibing, but if you want to find God, it's not vibing. If you're in traffic, you can play a song and say, this is how God pampers you. It will be okay. It will be okay. Because we are vibing. No problem. God is not mad. At least it's better than our other brothers. But if you want to find God, the lamp is a requirement. It must be on. Because when God also wants to speak to you, he will speak to you through the fire. And I will explain this to you. Do you remember the parable of this woman in the scripture that had 10 silver coins? And she misplaced the coins. And she wanted to search for just one. What did the scripture say? She put on a lamp or a candle and started searching the whole house until she found the missing coin. Then she called her neighbors to come and rejoice with her. Now, every time we speak about the candle, what does it really remind you of? Does it remind you of the night season? When it's getting dark? Is that not when we usually put on the candle? For illumination in the house or the lamp. Which means that when things get missing in your life or you are searching for a particular answer, it is as though you are in a season of your life where you don't have illumination. So you have to stir up your spirit. Are you here now? You have to stir up your spirit so that with the flames that the Holy Ghost will supply you, you can begin to search for answers. That's why I told you, if you don't know how to wait upon the Lord, you will be weak. You will not renew your strength, because it is those that wait that he empowers. It is those that he wait. He blesses them with flames. He said, the Lord will light my candle. That means there are situations in which he will not touch that candle. The Lord will light my candle and he will enlighten my darkness. No man can light your candle. No man. The Lord will look at you. For instance, if you find that a candle is almost finished and all of that, you don't waste your time. You bring out a new candle. There are people that are praying, God, if you can do something, we're going to say you are finished, you are done. There's nothing you can do again. You are like a dry stock fish. We can't bend you. We can't fold you. Anything we do breaks. If we touch you, you break. So you are too emotional. You are too sentimental. Any small thing, you lose your temper. We can't use you like this. We can't light your candle. You are destructive. Your temperament is too erratic. And that's why in the Christian faith, there is a strong doctrine that the church doesn't preach about today, and it's called moderation. Because we don't want to offend people. But it's in the Bible. Say you saw the way Jesus dressed, moderately, very demure, very mindful. When I speak about moderation, I'm also referring to stability. You cannot light a candle. Do you know there are some candles? I don't know if some of you remember this. There are some candles, when they package them, when you bring them out, you notice they are not properly formed. Some of them can't stand on their own. Sometimes you have to, if you have like a metallic empty tin or like I don't want to use a plastic, not plastic bottle, like a Coke bottle, right? So you have to, just to give it some stability. Because when the scripture says, the Lord will light my candle, I want you to know that if you are not stable, he won't touch you. And when speaking about stability, one of the things you need to know about stability is that James was speaking to us and he said that an unstable man is what? He said a double-minded man. So which means one of the signs we look for when we say somebody is unstable is that they are never settled decision wise. Today you want for Lakemi, tomorrow you want Busayo. Today I want to be a banker, tomorrow I want to go to United Nations. Yes, sir. Can we start from somewhere? Because if you are unstable, there is no path you choose for which there is no success quotient for. There is nowhere you go where you cannot succeed. If the Lord says, stand here and sell bottled water, you will prosper because he said so. You wake up today, I want to be an IT guru. Then you see your friend, he doesn't do anything. He's tapping. Say, if I tap, one of my colleagues, his hands now have bent. See, you want to, let me tell you why that thing will not last. Let me tell you why it will not last. It's not because I hate them. It's because whatever doesn't have intelligence behind it, whatever doesn't require a skill, a knowledge base, cannot survive. It cannot survive. There must be a measure of time that I need to put in to learn, to be grounded. As long as all I have to do, say you don't have to do anything, this remote work, you don't have to do anything, just talk to people who need friends. Have you seen those kind of guys online? They say just talk to sad people and they pay you as much as $20 every day. My sister, you may get the money, but you are wasting your youth. Because the day will now come, you will get a fantastic offer. And they'll say, so what do you have? Say, I talk to sad people. The time you should have used in developing yourself, you spent it talking to sad people and making money. Then you hit 36, only to realize that there is actually nothing you are really good at. The stakes are now higher. You can't fit in again. It is good for a man to bear his yoke when he's young. Many of our parents, our mothers, they suffered because they allowed their dreams die because of their husbands. Then the man died midway. Left mama and my mom started, you know, many of you, as I'm talking now, you'll be remembering your mom, the sacrifice they had to make to keep their home, and they paid for it dearly. Hey, for those of you that are men here, listen to me. If your wife is in school, go and register in the school too. I just want to sponsor my wife. I want us to okay. After you pay her school fees, go and look for one school, even if it's the school is under the bridge here. This bridge here, where area boys are, go and pay you to go somewhere. Go and learn something. Because the day your wife comes back from that school and the gap moves from like this to like this, your wife is here, you are here, she will need to be a real Christian to respect you. Women don't look down, they look up. If you are here and what you are thinking is that, okay, let me just tell you my message because I don't want to cause problem. I am telling you, brothers, all of you brothers looking at me as if you are not the one I'm talking to. Hear me now. Women follow greatness. Women follow greatness. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself and say we are one in Christ. We are not one in Christ. Women follow greatness. She will stay with you for a while. But if you do not grow, there will be a problem. She will start telling you, I know the way you met me. I had the opportunity to go to Jasper because of you. Because now all my life, see, you are not demure, you are not mindful. I'm not asking you to aspire for things that are not God's will for you. I'm just telling you that you must have a taste for excellence and success, a healthy one. If what God has blessed you with is to be able to earn 10 million per annum or 20 million per annum, you cannot tell her, this is what God has blessed you with. I cannot steal. This is what I have. Not that you will relinquish your headship to a woman. Because there are people who come from homes where the women are always in charge. The women work more. They bring more to the table. The men are relaxed because they have hardworking women. You too, you have started with that anini spirit. You have started with that ogbanje spirit. You are relaxed. You are dating a woman that is highly aspiring. That anini spirit must die today. Amen. Why can't you challenge yourselves to be better? Okay, last year you took this course, I took this course. Okay, this year, which one do you want to? You challenge yourself and you grow together. No, you go cross your leg. Say, my wife, she's in school. She went to school. You uncle. You are tapping. Hamster. You are tapping. You say, if I finish mining this thing, the value of... Who told you the value will be anything? You are gambling your life against a man who developed an application that you don't know you can't see. Yeah, my friend collected 39,000 last week. Is that your vision? 39,000. Come on, say, I refuse to be small.
I refuse to be small.
One of the things the candle of the Lord will do to you. Now, put up Proverbs 20 again. Proverbs 20, 27. Let me show you something. Okay, let's look at maybe another version, maybe Amplified or a very Living Bible or Message, whatever works. Let's see. Now, look at Amplified. Are you seeing that? Let's look at this. It says the spirit of man, in bracket, that factor in the human personality which proceeds immediately from where? From where? That means the spirit of a man is created from the very essence of God. And when God made man, he breathed into that man and the man became a living soul. That spirit is the guy that understands the language of heaven. That is why when God talks to you, when you are praying, that voice goes first of all into your spirit. Then your mind begins to look for vocabulary that matches, closest in meaning to what your spirit has said. And that is why many times when you hear God, you think you are hearing yourself. Because your mind is matching words with what, you know, with spiritual language, with heavenly voice, with an heavenly voice. It is a factor, that thing in you, that what put up that scripture, that emanates, that proceeds immediately from God, that spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So, it is, anytime God, stay with that scripture, anytime God wants to bring revelation to you, what he does to you, it takes a match, it lights your spirit, and allows your spirit. It stands behind you. You think it is your spirit. Is God actually behind you doing the searching? But it stands behind you. He's searching the... There are parts of your spirit that are very deep. They are like the ocean. You won't know anything is in that place. But while you are praying... And that is why many people don't get anything out of prayer. Because their prayer is not heartfelt. It's not deep. They are praying from their head, not from their spirit. You see, your prayer has to be heartfelt. It has to be your being must be involved. Your whole soul must be involved. As you are praying, your spirit is traveling like a lantern. They are searching the innermost. Sometimes you are praying, you don't even know what you are looking for. But you just know when you find it, you will know. You are just sipade, yizota, yale, rase. You know this prayer. We have to come back. We didn't finish. We've not seen what we are looking for. And you are just searching. There are things in the innermost part of your being, your future, your life, your destiny, locked far away in the depth of your spirit. Only when the Lord lights your candle can you begin to search, like that woman who was searching for one coin out of 10. The Bible says she stayed up all night. Zoprekedia, Zoprekedia, Zoprekedia. Lama do sepaya, jade gadele. Mama, what are you doing? Say, my son, the direction is going. We need to retrieve the destiny from where they kept it. Zepaladosha, radisataya. You are searching. The Bible says, and when she finds it, when you find it, you will know. And the way the scriptures are giving us that signal that you will know is that the Lord will give to you either a witness or the spirit of joy. It is not something you can manufacture. If you manufacture it yourself, you will be in trouble. The moment you touch it, without you doing anything, without you trying to pamper yourself, without you trying to make yourself happy, the joy of the Lord will be released. You will come out of that place understanding Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Give me Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. It says, faith is the substance of things that we hope for. But you see, it is also an evidence. It's an evidence. Let me show you what that means. Hebrews 11, 1, quickly. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, the thing you need to know about hope is that hope is in the future. Anything, hope, something you are aspiring for, something you are wishing for, something you are praying for, it's not yet your reality. It's in the future. That's why we hope for it. Oh, I hope that I could get married one day. Oh, I hope that I could relocate to New Jersey one day. I hope that I could visit the White House. It's a hope. All right? It's a hope. Come on, say it's a hope. It may not be approved. But it's a hope, and you are allowed to hope. Another word for hope is dream. If you don't use your mind to dream well, Satan will put useless thoughts into you. And I hope you know that thoughts are seeds. Once they find a good soil, they will grow. The same way God's word is a seed. Anytime he finds a good soil, it will grow. That's why a lot of us are bound to lust. It's not because of just what we are watching. It is because of the seeds that we have given permission to be planted. If you grew up watching your mother stand up to your, you know, and maybe your mom was taller than your dad, and she stood up to your dad later and said, "What are you going to do?" And your dad said, "Don't try me." Then she says, "What are you going to do?" If you saw that, if you saw that happen back to back, and at every turn your dad walked away, he couldn't do anything because the odds were against him. What we hear many times are of men brutalizing their wives. But there are also very strong cases where the woman sat on top of the man and said, "You are not living here today." And she sat on him. "So what are you going to do? What are you going to do?" She sat on his head because the man was a small, you know, he couldn't fight. And the brother too should have thought about it before marrying. So if you saw that, and you also picked after your mom. Many times, many of us do not realize that the things we hate about our parents, we are gradually becoming like them. Yes. It's just we are becoming like them in a Christian way. So a seed has been sown. You now notice that you naturally become a bully. But you didn't become a bully, obviously. You became a bully in the place of prayer. The way you pray, as if you are fighting. But nobody knew that it is a seed that is growing. They saw her as a prayer warrior. They call her Sister Storm. Anytime she prays, like the storm, the power, Holy Ghost, storm, power. Until she married. And she married a very gentle brother like this, who doesn't talk. And then the storm came. The most annoying one is the sisters that don't look like it. They are very demure, very petite, and very, you know, calm. And you ran away from the Yokozuna, came to this side, only to realize that you made a wrong decision. How do you know the true state of a thing if the Lord does not show you? How do you know the true state of anything? How do you know? It is only when the Lord lights your candle, showing you, say, "Look through these flames now," and you see that this person may be good for my today, but will not be good for my future. This young brother will grow up to become very arrogant. And he will grow up to be somebody who beats his wife to a pulp. I spoke to a wonderful person. Anytime the husband beats her, then he will tell her, "Do you want a new car?" "Yes." Me, in fact, if I was that person, I would say yes. I would start a car business. I'm saying in this economy, I'm talking about this economy. Those are the kind of people may I counsel. After they beat you to a pulp, you now say, "Sorry about that. Between this Range Rover and this one, which one do you like?" "Say, I don't want your car." I say, "You're a fool. Take the car. Because you still beat you tomorrow. You may need to get another car too. So then you call me. I will open a shop somewhere here. We'll start selling." If you grow up in certain places where people went to church and they never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you may find it very difficult to understand why somebody else refuses to stay in a church where the presence of the Holy Spirit is not evident. You may never understand. You say he's proud. When I changed school, I tried to get Unity Secondary School, Akure. I thought you were a fellow Unity. So there was this. Okay, sorry. These are big boys, amen. So there was this school they tried to get me into. I couldn't get in. They said I came in second term. I needed to be around earlier. We tried all the schools. There's this other school, Aquinas. So it's a boys' school. I still did not succeed. By the time we got to Owo, Unity Secondary School, Owo, I'd now devised a plan. This is the last option. After this, if I don't get it, they are taking me back to the North, Command Secondary School. And I didn't want to go back. So they got us into the principal's office. You know, it's like an illumination. One of the things the candle of Lord will do, it will help you see the strategy. how to enter this market. You have tried it 2 times, it didn't work. This is how you are going to do it now. You know, I'm coming from the north. In the north, we don't. There's a way we greet. We are not Hausa men, we are not Fulani. So most of my classmates were Chinese, Germans, Sierra Leoneans. You know, my dad worked in university, so those are the kind of people in my class. Hey, Fred, how are you? Brian, how are you? You know, those are the kind of people. You know. So even my Fulani friends, they were the aristocrats. They were not the local ones on the street. When you see them, they don't even speak to you. They want you to communicate in English. And they have very nice accent. Those are the kind of people. So when I came here, I've already told them I've left. To now go back and say, they brought you back. When we got into the principal's office, he was not there. So I said I was sick. And I was already a Christian. Something came into my head that when he comes, greet him like a Yoruba boy. Where I come from, even my own parents, I don't greet them like that. Per se. I only greet them when we have people from our village who are around. So they won't say we are spoiled. My mom forced us to speak Yoruba because she felt we were growing up to become very rude. Because English language has no respect. I've never had an English notebook in my life because I didn't need it. I grew up among Europeans. People who speak flawless English. The grammar was was on point. Till I wrote WAEC, I didn't need it. Is it not to pick the right answer? When I read it, if it's wrong, something will go off in my head that this thing is wrong. This is bad grammar. Forget about the math, so that's a separate matter. Do you know that when the man came in, I just followed the intuition. Hello, madam, are you good? My young man, well, I just prostrated, I greet him. He said, where did you say you are from? I said, from the north. And you know how to prostrate and greet. He just called the VP Academy. Get him a class. They didn't even ask me if my education was genuine, whether my junior WAEC was good. I only follow the direction of the lamp. It may be stupid, just follow it. That is the thing about being guided by the lamp. Let me tell you something. Your spirit is like a search engine. Huh? When the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate you, sometimes in the process of getting to the answer, your spirit will be picking up different things. Don't settle and say it is God yet. Let this search engine complete the search. This is what happened to some people. They said they were praying. Something came up. That is the beginning of the matter. We have not gotten to where we are going to. Some people just turned off their phone. Praise God. We have not found it. We are still in 1984. When your mom gave birth to you. Where we are going is 87. How to be stable in the spirit like a candle so that you burn brightly until you see the destination. He said the spirit of mine is a candle. So God uses your own spirit to search through your own bloodline. He searches through your own life and destiny. He searches through the innermost. If you are not stable, you will not be able to stay through that search. You'll be distracted. Because sometimes this search can take a bit of some time. For you to be able to operate like this, you have to be stable in your spirit. God's faithfulness must be solid in your heart. You must know that regardless of what you are going through, God is faithful. Because, listen to me, and God's word is yea and amen. God's word is yea and amen. God will not bring you this far and not tell you, okay, you're on your own. The only people on their own are those who abandon their relationship with God. This is very important. I spoke to one of my, spiritual daughters. She lives in the UK. She was in a relationship with a particular brother. The brother would bring her to my house. Some men are very wonderful. The guy lives around Ogba. He would drive his car, pick her at Lekki, bring her to my place, and just to see my wife and I. After we are done, the guy will wait. I'm like, so how are you doing? How's your job today? I try to engage, very calm. This guy is like, for me, he say, yes, yes. There's no need to pray. Yes, yes. And one day she called me. She said, I'm leaving that guy. I said, don't leave. You're already 30. I said, this guy, what's the problem? Is it because he's gentle? Say, pastor, no. I say, Mashele, don't do this. This guy is okay. You give him time. Give him time. I said, try to love him. She said, I have tried. I said, you know, marriage is not about love. Oh. You have to look at the future. I tried to persuade her. She went and came back and said, Pastor, I can't force it. So she said to the guy, I need to pull out. In less than 3 months, the guy married somebody else. In less than 3 months, how wicked can a man be? Something in her spirit said, So if God had told her, don't marry this guy, she would refuse. What God did, he tampered with her emotions. She couldn't bring herself to love him. The guy would come from beggar, pick her at the rush hour, traffic rush hour in the evening, go to Lekki to pick her, bring her to Bagada, take her back around 10:30 p.m. to Lekki, then start driving back to beggar. If you have such a person, won't you say he's committed? Yet God was not in it. And God did not even say, the boy is trying. Let's align. I'm telling you that the moment you prioritize the spirit of revelation, because the lamp of the Lord is the spirit of revelation. When you prioritize that and say, look, okay, I've seen all the things we need to consider. This business looks good. We can do this business. We can do this. You now wait. Say, give me some time. Daniel said, oh my God. Daniel said, give me one night so that we can know the king's dream. Daniel had taken time to build the spirit to know that if the matter is a critical matter, he needs one night. It takes a lot of time and resilience, working with God, praying, strategy to know your trigger point. You get to that point where you know that this kind of matter is 3 days fasting. It's 3 days fasting. You know, it's not pride. You have worked with God to that point. How to know the king's dream? He kabaliso to ye desire. It's one night. You must know the trigger point. You must know the things that cause your spirit to catch fire. You must know the things that once you begin to engage in them, you become illuminated. The fire begins to burn. You know that if I stay here like this, 7 days, 3 days, 3 hours, I'll get this answer. Many times, those trigger points are songs. There are some songs. There are some songs that when you begin to sing them, your spirit begins to respond in a different way. I have a few of those songs, but they are very native songs. If you may not appreciate them, they are not. It's just like saying there's Igbo language and there is Igbo language. There are some Igbo language when they speak, you that grew up in Lagos cannot hear. So for me, all those songs, they are not in Isongo. They are not Jesus culture. They are your native songs. They are the songs that your parents used to sing when they were washing place. You hear Arewa, told you Arewa Lord. Oh Lola, told you oh Lola Lord. Ni Jesu, Baba mi agba. Shono ni okpe ati ye. When you enter that mode, you most time you have to make sure you are alone at home. And you begin to dance. You don't need keyboard. You begin to gyrate and dance. The spirit of revelation will start burning. Little by little. Start burning. Before you know it, your eyes are open. You begin to see in the spirit. How do you think we know details? And we see details. And we call people out. And tell them this is what the Holy Spirit has said. And they meet it exactly so. You must know what it means to tarry with the Lord until he shows you your trigger points. There are those things. Anytime you do this thing, I will show up. Anytime you do this thing, I will show up. Jesus was going to the cross. What was his trigger point? To look for another mountain. To look for another high point. Every time Jesus needed to touch God, he will climb a mountain. He will climb a high point. And then when he was going to the cross, he looked for another high point. Gethsemane, he stood there and prayed. That was his trigger point. You receive energy to pull the trigger. That is your the innermost core, the place of strength that God has given you. I remember Pastor Ayo was in him. He was going, I think somewhere in Abuja, and he was going to preach in a meeting, and there was a pastor there who was a prophet, you know, and the man was just praying, speaking in tongues. Pastor, I just sat down. He was looking at him. Then the people who invited and say, Daddy, do you want some food? What do you have? Say, pounded yam. Very good. Pastor, I like pounded yam. They brought it. The other man was there. Say, there's wine. I'm the man looking. This man, is he aware of that where we are going is a battleground? Please tell your neighbor, prayer is important. But when you are under pressure, Let me tell you, when you're under pressure, find the trigger point. There are points in your life, places that God has met with you. There are things that God has, by revelation, put in your hands. Like the way he put the spirit and power of praise in the hands of my father-in-law. Those things, anytime he holds that shekel, he's 84-year-old. You will see him shaking. Go the next day, not the next year, the next day, go back and look at that problem. The man is not a pastor. But when he came to the Lord, that was what the Lord put in his hand. The spirit of praise. If you praise me, I will solve your problem. That shekere, the man went to the UK. He took the shekere with him. The shekere looks like an ancient ancient landmark. Very big, not these fine ones. We went to his house last week. We still saw the shekere. Very, very faithful. That, you see, and he will be moved. He makes you feel ashamed. When you see the man praising God, I don't like being... this boy, you are proud. The way he praises God, and he does what we call praise vigil. Stay up at night with his shekere. Then you begin to recite Isaiah. Father, thank you. Go and sleep. 84-year-old. But he got born again late in his life. He wasn't a Christian until maybe in his 50s. So when you say you cannot do it, when they refused to give his son his appointment letter in Access Bank, it was the son who told his friends, Access Bank is recruiting. Oh, God, time up. You came to me. What? The Access Bank, they recruit you. You call me, you call her, you call us. They now gave all of us job. You that told us they left you. Like play. You resume. She resume. She resume. I resume. You are at home playing video game. Then the father said, young man, you are not wise. This night. Because it's not your thing, you will struggle. The boy was just... 6 a.m. Oh yeah, dress up like you are going to work. We are going to Access Bank. They saw an elderly man in front of there. What are you looking for? He said, you have an appointment? No, but I want to see the head of HR. Daddy, you are out of respect. Why are you here? Because of my son. Hey, can't he come himself? I will come with him. He was supposed to have resumed. We didn't hear anything, no letter. And that means he did not pass. Hey, check again. They brought the file. His letter was underneath of the file. Say, your letter is here. Say, resume tomorrow. You must know your trigger point. There are those things that your relationship with God will put in your hands. You know that if there's this problem, that trigger point that you have to stay away from people. You will retreat, leave people. Say, this Friday night after work, turn off your phone, turn off everything till Sunday morning. And you sit down with God, you just be doing Bible study, spending time with Him. Please understand that the accuracy of the Google map, it depends on a number of factors. Do you know that if you are going to a place for the first time, Google map can take you into the forest? Google map took someone to a cemetery. Somebody was going to Osek, but Google map took him to redemption camp. The person I told the wife, say, I don't know much about where we are going, but where we are now is not where we are going. Let's turn back. We'll be asking people on the road. This one is Ibadan I'm seeing now. It doesn't look like Ekpe, even though I don't know. You know, your spirit is smart to know that it may not be this boy. I'm looking for a husband, but it's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. A lady, oh my God. A lady in Port Harcourt had done her introduction. They have announced in church. She was getting married. The brother was also a member of the church. Then after the introduction, she just woke up. Say, I have this gut feeling. This wedding cannot go on. People normally experience such things. Cold feet. She started developing cold feet. But she said anytime she prayed, that thing became pronounced. Like a stomach pain. Like she went to the pastor. Pastor tried to encourage her. I said, Pastor, this thing is not normal. I didn't feel it before the introduction. Something is wrong. They called the brother. Did you upset her? He said, the guy did not do anything. This guy did not do anything. I said, many of us, if you really think back now, God gave you a sign. God gave you a warning. Don't go ahead with this thing. And you went ahead. They backed out of the wedding. It was a lot of noise. But the brother was celebrated because the lady also came out to say he didn't do anything wrong. The brother died that year. Your spirit is smart. You see, but the ability for that spirit to read signs and understand, it takes time. So the strongest way to sharpen the operation of that lampstand is to spend a lot of time with God. The accuracy can also be dependent on the strength of your internet, because the map can be buffering. You know, the internet is buffering. If it's not so strong, where you are supposed to turn, you would have driven past the place, then you say turn right, turn which right? Right that you are supposed to have like 3 minutes ago. Spending a lot of time with God. Spending a lot. It is not a waste. It is not a waste. It's better you wait 80 hours and make one strong decision than to be gambling. And at the end of the day, you say, I wish I knew. How do you know? What did Jesus see in Peter after that level of betrayal that he was willing to give Peter a second chance? What did God see in Judas? And God said, forget this one. He's the lampstand. When the spirit of revelation begins to flow, he said, this one can be forgiven. The same Peter, 50 days after he betrayed Jesus, they tarried in the upper room. And Peter, who has never read the Bible, stood up to say, this is that which was written and spoken by Prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon. And Satan said, who said that? Who said that? Yeah, you. They gave up on you. They gave up on you. But God saw something. God saw something. He said that your brother that is stuck on hard drugs, God saw something. God said, this is our man. That your sister that has done several abortions, and the world say the family say we are tired of her. God looked at her and said, this one are my person. God said, this one, if we are sister, she will become great in our hands. A lampstand we burn, because those that are forgiving much, they love much. If we forgive this one, she will burn for us. Listen to me. God is the one rooting for you. God is the one shouting your name. God is the one telling you can do it. It is not man. God is the one that says, behold, I have set before thee a straight path. Get up, arise, for this is the day of your strength. Arise and shine, for your light has now come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Say, for gross darkness will cover them. Say, but you will arise in my light, and you will shine. Listen to me. The strength of your fire, it will only be pronounced by the darkness. It will not be celebrated in the light. So God will wait for thick darkness. Then he will command you to shine. And he will command. And that day you will look like the only solution that they need. In that office you will look like the only solution. Anywhere you turn, they'll say, this is the kind of woman we've been waiting to come into our family. You want to marry, they'll say, madam, you are welcome. There's work to be done. After your wedding, we will start prayer. We will start vigil. It's as if they've been praying. I'm telling you, you will be the answer to somebody's prayer. Oh, I said, I prophesy, you will be the answer to somebody's prayer. Listen to some of you don't understand the weight of that prayer. Listen, stand to your feet. Some of you don't understand the weight of that prayer. You don't understand the weight of that prayer. Until you meet with a man that the doctors have condemned. I spoke to you guys I think 3 months ago or so, about that brother in our Benin church that trusted God for 27 years. You remember him? That I said was trusting God for a child. Huh? And after prophecy, he still lost. He still could not have a child. You know, and they called me a few weeks ago and said, the baby is here. Pastor, can you come to Benin? I said, I don't have 400,000 for flight. I will join online. You know, but you know, the brother said to me, he said, Pastor, I don't work. Pastor, Baba Lawo no dey collect my money again. You see, Pastor, if I tell you where I don't bath, where they carry me go, where I don't bath, promise where I don't make incision for my body. He said, you came to Benin City and you prayed for me. Just take prayer 5 minutes and you told me, don't fight with your wife. Today, a baby girl. You know, the guy said, say, I will serve Jesus. I will follow Jesus all my life. Now, that kind of a man, he will go to his business and tell his friends, what are you doing? Jesus can do it. You see the confidence now. Jesus can do it. See, have faith in him. He became an evangelist. See, Jesus. See, emphasis. Jesus. But for 27 years, they collected his money. He went across. He was using his money to sponsor other people's children to school. And God was watching him. If the guy comes to church in our Abini church, he uses his big car to bring children from his neighborhood. They come to the church. One day he was coming to church, and on the road, 400,000 naira fell. 400,000 naira cash. He was bringing it to church. The money fell down at the junction. He came to church, sat down. The money has fallen. Ha! Huh? Say, God, now your house are they come. And he left the church. He went back, saw the money at the junction, picked it, trekked back to church. He said, ah, now my church with this. Say, Benin man, know the kind last. If Benin man see envelope, he go tell you waiting day there. Ah, 400,000 naira. And I got to church, was in service, remembered, went out, saw the money. Ah, he said, now my church with this. Listen to me. You will be the answer to someone's prayers. I want you to pray and magnify God right now. Give him glory, give him glory, give him glory. 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 So we come to the secret place as we enter the most holy place.